Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mr. Dickens, let's go.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
If you think that Sunday is only going to be about people who gamble on sports, you're insane. Game 7 of the NBA Finals doesn't draw in, on rare occasions it does, but doesn't draw in someone who's never watched a basketball game that season. Never. Game 7 of the World Series doesn't draw in, with maybe the exception of the Cubs-Cleveland series, doesn't draw in a person who's never watched baseball. It doesn't do that. There is no substitute for the secular holiday that is Sunday.
Take me a bicycle, clown!
That is right. I am Lawrence Holmes here with you until 9 o'clock tonight, and we are going to preview the snot out of the Super Bowl. We're going to give you what you need, whether it's X and O's, whether it's the betting aspect of it, you are going to be covered. Charles Davis of NFL Network and Fox Sports is going to join me at 8 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, Big Ant Heron is going to join me. We're going to break things down. At 6:20, or around there, I'm going to talk with Dan Pompey. And to start the show off tonight, I got Joe Ostrowski in the house. Like, Joe was getting ready for his show, was prepping his show for Saturday morning, which is going to be huge. So I said, Joe, since you're here, just come hang out in the first segment and tell people what they should and shouldn't be betting on, or what's interesting to bet on. And he was like, all right, I'll do it. So Joe Ostrowski is here. He is the host of Early Odds. He is the best. If you're looking for someone who understands sports betting, it's this guy. And he used to work on this little show right here. Hello, Joseph.
Super Bowl here yet?
No. There's still a lot of pregame stuff that we have to get through.
Damn. The last time I was in a studio with you a few weeks ago for the House of L, a lot of people asked me questions what I meant by certain things.
Yeah.
So am I going to get in trouble?
No, I'm trying not to get anyone in trouble with the podcast. I thought that your episode of House of L was very illuminating. If you want to learn about the business of radio, I thought that you were right on time. And that episode's done very well, Joe. Like, it's done well. The Grody episode that was this week, the numbers on it have been really good. And it's a fantastic episode. So, no, let's try to not get you in trouble today.
I didn't get in trouble, though.
Good.
I didn't get in
trouble. You don't get in trouble because you're not afraid of anybody, which is one of the reasons I loved having you as the executive producer, because you didn't give a damn and you were going to be like, whatever, we do what we want, which is exactly what you want from executive producer. But now you're not that anymore. You're one of the foremost authorities on sports betting. This is a huge weekend for people who like betting, people who want to get into the prop aspect of it. I know that you've been on nationally. You were on with Parkins on CBS Sports Radio. You were on with Jason and Big Ant Heron on Sirius XM 372, talking about some of this stuff. Why are people that maybe have never bet before, how are they enticed to bet on Super Bowl Sunday?
Man, this brings everybody in. It's so much fun. Most people are going to a party, and I'll tell you what, this doesn't go for just your average Joe bettors that come out maybe a few times a year, big occasions like this. This goes to some of the sharpest bettors in the world. They're looking at this game and saying, man, this line of 2.5 consensus right now, a few places, 3, Patriots favored, is so tight. The total is so difficult, 56.5, 57. There are a lot of bettors that do this for a living that are only doing prop bets. This is the one time of the year where most books now, half of the money rolling in is coming in on these prop bets. And, you know, there's your average people that like to bet. They're doing this for some fun, betting all sorts of stuff they don't do any other day of the year. And then, like I mentioned, the professionals are saying, well, I have an advantage because the book is posting hundreds, and in some cases, over 1,000 ways to bet a game. I know where I'm going to be able to find the edge where they have a bad line right here, and I trust my process over their process. So it really draws in everybody. I think with the expansion of sports betting, and we're now in 8 states, and I think in 2019 we will be in Illinois, that we're going to see more of this, more of the prop bet, because it involves everybody. You don't have to love the game. You don't have to love a point spread to get involved.
I didn't ask you this in the podcast, but maybe I should have. Not to get too political, but it is a part of this. Does the election of J.B. Pritzker...
Oh, big, huge, good. Very good if you want sports betting.
Okay, all right.
Very good.
I didn't know. All right, so now I know.
He's on record. He wants it.
Okay, so we probably will see it considering the powers that be in the city and in the state.
I've heard there's a chance it happens in the middle of the year. So there's a real shot that by the next time Mitch Trubisky takes a real snap, there's going to be legal sports betting in Illinois.
Just what you've been waiting for.
Let's go.
Your whole life.
Been waiting for this whole moment.
What's the most interesting props to you?
The ones that...
Wait, let me rephrase. Let me rephrase for a second, counselor. Which props are you staying away from, and why?
Staying away from. Okay, we'll start with the entertainment one, because these are the novelty ones that people talk about, that you hear radio shows talk about, that you might see on television. I'm probably staying away from the Gatorade, stuff like that. Aside from the MVP, I stay away from props that give you 5, 10 different options, because they are so difficult to hit. Like with MVP, I have my angles, and sure, I'll take a long shot here and there. But stuff like the Gatorade, I'm just, no. I don't even know how many colors are on the sideline. And now Ice Punch is the big favorite.
That one's clear, though, right?
Do you know why it's the big favorite now? Because somebody asked Todd Gurley on Twitter, said, hey, Todd, asking for a friend, which Gatorade flavor do the Rams prefer on the sideline? And he said Ice Punch. And that is clear. And that would be a clear/water winner, which is one of the options. And now that's the heavy favorite. But Todd Gurley likes to mess with the media, so I don't know if he's being serious. Stuff like that. I'll stay away from the Gatorade because I'm just taking a complete shot in the dark. Some of the other entertainment ones, like Gladys Knight over-under national anthem, there's a little something to it. You think you know how she's going to approach it? She's on record, 1991 national anthem. Do a quick YouTube search. She did it in about 1:30.
But this is her hometown.
Yeah, so is she going to drag it out? So there's at least some angle there. There's some handicapping involved there. There's some fun ones that I'll be involved in, but I stay away from the ones that give you 10 different options. I mean, needle in a haystack there.
Okay, let's talk about the analysis of the game, because I know that that's how you look at this, that when it comes to you putting dollars on a game, it's not on a whim. It's because you've broken the game down. So what's the most interesting aspect of this game to you from a betting perspective?
This might be boring to some people, but it's the line play. You have two of the best offensive lines in the league, and some metrics, if you buy into them, like there's a study on 538.com earlier this week, they were showing in the last decade that these are two of the best offensive lines that we've seen in the NFL. And if the Rams want a prayer at winning this game, we spend so much time talking about what's wrong with Todd Gurley. Is he injured? Is it because of his poor play in the NFC title game, which is the reason he ended up only with 4 carries? Is he healthy 2 weeks later? Jared Goff, can he rise to the occasion? Game's going to be won or lost at that line. And if they can't get pressure up the middle with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and Donald probably the best player on the football field on Sunday night, if you can't get pressure up the gut against Brady, it's going to be trouble. Where does Brady struggle? getting pressure up the middle. Gets pressure on the edge, he can handle that. His passer rating is still over 100. Comes up the gut in his face, his passer rating is in the lower 60s. And are those Giants Super Bowls? What was happening? Pressure in his face.
They were using that NASCAR where they had the four defensive ends out there, and they were getting pressure on him everywhere, but up the middle for sure. And you're right. If you got pressure on the outside on Brady, he's very adept at finding and climbing the pocket and then making a throw that ends up killing you. But if you can get him off the launch point inside the pocket, because we know he's not mobile, that's where he does struggle. If there's one thing that he struggles at, because you're talking about arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, it's that. And most quarterbacks struggle with that. And this might be the type of defensive line that can actually get that type of pressure on Brady. I've been surprised by, and Hub and I talked about it a little bit last night, the way that these two teams have gotten here, how each of their running games have been so significant in a league and in a season where we have celebrated the pass and go out there and throw for 500 yards.
Two of the highest scoring teams.
Right.
Look at the last four teams that were left.
The top four highest scoring teams in the league.
Right.
But even with that, I was impressed with McVay saying, okay, our pass game is not working the way that I like. We're going to run the ball down your throat. And they were able to do that. They've been doing that in the playoffs. And the same thing with the Patriots. They've been able to run the ball effectively. And I think it makes for a really interesting matchup on how this is going to go Sunday night.
And I mentioned that the total is probably very close. That's a pretty good number in the high 50s they have. But it doesn't mean you can't attack that from a betting angle. Well, I think for the game that the total is tough and the final score will be around the high 50s, low 60s, so I'm probably going to end up staying away. I'm probably going to attack it with some derivative bets. And what I mean by that is take a look at the under in the first half. Because in the Super Bowl, you have teams feeling each other out, taking it easy. And then as defenses wear down in the second half, you really see offenses, probably one offense will be a little desperate. They really start to open it up, season on the line, throw everything out there. In the last eight Super Bowls, the Patriots have scored a combined 3 points in the first quarter. 3 points first quarter in their last eight Super Bowls. Now, some of that is because you get one less possession, because they usually defer, but they did take the ball against the Chargers.
Yes, they did.
I think that might happen again, but I see a slower start, and much like the AFC and NFC title games, it going bonkers in the second half.
Are you able to enjoy a game like this?
Oh,
Or is your enjoyment in, well, I'm going to take the first half under, or I'm going to take this quarter under?
At halftime, I want this to happen. Sure.
So it doesn't negate any of the social aspect of you watching the game at all?
No. No. I view sport like, here's how sports bettors look at it. It just enhances everything. It doesn't take away from anything. If it was going to take away, people just wouldn't do it. And in the end, most people are doing this for their own entertainment, for their own enjoyment. I mean, most people listening out there are doing this for a living. So I think it really enhances. And it's fun to be around people that bet only a few times a year that want to get involved. And you're kind of talking through the process about why they did this or why they did that. And I don't mind it when people just do it on a whim, too. That's fun. I don't like doing that throughout the year. But as far as the Super Bowl, I throw a lot of those rules out the window.
Okay, so is the show like extra long this week, or did you just pack a lot of stuff into it?
Yes, there are two shows.
Oh.
Okay, so I have the normal Saturday early odds show tomorrow morning, 8:30 to 9.
Okay.
Okay, that's just your primer, okay?
And then
Sunday, 3 hours.
You and...
Me.
Just you?
Me. A lot of guests. I'm having a bookmaker from Vegas every hour, and some of the people that I trust, one of the people that I trust, Shane Irving. He's coming on.
Oh, God.
I need to edit it, but he's coming on the show.
Straight up
degenerate. Had to record that one.
I love that. I love that you brought that guy. He's already a star, and you're going to bring him out and share him with the Score audience. That is So dope.
Oh, there are some people that have never been on the Score airwaves that you will hear Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to noon.
Okay, so tomorrow, 8 to 8:30?
8:30 to 9.
8:30 to 9.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, 3 hours, 9 to noon.
Yes. Yes.
Early odds.
I even grabbed the Fat Podcast to tell people what they should pick up at the store on the way to their parties for a few minutes. So it was a lot of fun planned.
Okay, good. Well, Joe, I appreciate it. Enjoy what is not just the Super Bowl, but your Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Because the Super Bowl of betting is happening. Listen to Joe early odds tomorrow, 8:30 to 9, and then on Super Bowl Sunday, 9 to noon, right here on the Score. There is no one better than that guy, Joe Ostrowski. Follow him on Twitter at JoeO670. He's the guy on top of it, and he has made an absolute killing career-wise with this stuff. I'm going to talk with Dan Pompey about the game and some of the stuff that he's learned down in Atlanta this week. That's next here on The Score. It's the Friday before the Super Bowl here on The Score. And we are talking about the Super Bowl. We are breaking it down from a lot of different aspects, talking about the league overall. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. We just had Joe Ostrowski on and we were talking betting with him. Make sure you check out his early odds show tomorrow morning at 8:30 and then a special Super Bowl edition of early odds. So if you miss Saturday, he's going to do 3 hours that is going to prepare you in a way that we have never done it here on the Score for the Super Bowl. Like, Joe has found that niche, man, and he's the perfect guy to exploit it. And you're going to love it. So tomorrow, 8:30 to 9 on the Score in the morning. Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, the early odds show. All right, I'm excited to talk with our next guest. Dan Pompey writes for Bleacher Report, The Athletic, here at The Score. He's one of our experts on our pregame show that we do for Bears football. He is one of the most connected men in the NFL. He is a Hall of Fame voter, and I consider myself very lucky to call him a friend and a colleague. He joins me now from Atlanta. Dan Pompey now on the Score. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, thanks for the kind words, Lawrence. Always a pleasure to be with you. And I finally got to Atlanta. I had a lot of planes, trains, and automobiles going on the last few days with the weather in Chicago. And I finally got down here today, and I'm sitting here outside a restaurant talking to you on a beautiful night. It's about 55 degrees, and city's buzzing. There's lights flashing, and a lot of excitement a couple blocks away from the Patriots Hotel. And I've seen some of the Patriots out and about tonight. It's going to be a great game, I think.
I'm very much looking forward to it. And I do want to talk to you about the game, but you've written about, and there've been a couple of Bears stories that I wanted to get your reaction to. The first one, the announcement of Julius Peppers' retirement today. Julius is obviously going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, when you look at the numbers, it's hard to deny. Why was he such a force, and what were the things that, in covering him, that you learned about him?
You know, I just think he was a rare guy in terms of the size and the athleticism combination. I don't know if there's really ever been another one exactly like him. In today's game, you know, you might compare him a little bit to Aaron Donald, even though they play different positions and different body types and all that. But it's the same kind of like feeling that a guy who is that size isn't supposed to be able to do the things that he could do. And, if you go through history, you don't find many guys like that. And, he had that from a very early age, and he kept it for a very, very long time, 17 seasons, which is rare and really a testament to how he worked and how he got smarter as he got older and how he figured things out. I know the thing about him is his teammates loved him. You know, I know you're close with a lot of guys who played with him on the Bears, and I know how they all talk about him reverentially, and they think that he was a guy who did everything the right way, and he lifted his teams. You know, he made his Panthers teams better in the early years. He made the Bears better. He made the Packers better. And then he made the Panthers better again, his return to Carolina. So Yeah, great player, just a great career, a great body of work. You know, when you put together 17 seasons like that, you just got to tip your cap to the guy.
It's funny because I was having a conversation with Alex Brown a few weeks ago, and I was talking about Brady's longevity. And he stopped me dead in my tracks. He's like, yes, what Brady's doing is impressive, but Julius Peppers is out there playing defensive end, you know, at 39 years old and was still being effective. So because of your deep knowledge of the league, how crazy is it that a guy that old would still be an effective pass rusher?
Well, not only very rare, and not only was he an effective pass rusher, but he was a durable pass rusher late in his career. He had some crazy string of games played late in his career where he didn't miss a game over a long, long period of time, and I don't know the number off the top of my head, but that just doesn't happen. I think, did he tail off a little bit at the end? Yes, he did. You know, I think he lost some of his dynamic ability, but I think he still was effective. Even in his last year, there were times when he was able to create pressure and get to the quarterback.
The other thing, and you wrote in The Athletic about Robbie Gould, I think there are a lot of Bears fans who obviously miss Robbie, and they miss more than him. They miss his consistency that he provided, considering that since he left the Bears, you look at where the Bears' kicking has been, it's been at the bottom of the league. When you sat down with Robbie and you had the opportunity to talk with him, what things did you learn?
Well, what I learned is, I didn't really understand the depth of his love for Chicago and the Bears. And, I guess initially I wondered, would he want to come back here if everything was going really well in San Francisco? And it was. He's loved in San Francisco, too. Mike Shanahan talked about him this morning on Molly and Hanley show. And John Lynch has talked about him. They want him back. He's been kicking better than he's kicked ever in his entire career. And, he's the number two all-time accurate kicker in the National Football League. So, my question, I guess, was, is it worth giving up everything that he's got going now to come back here and maybe risk things again and, kick in Soldier Field, which is no picnic, and start all over again with the Bears? And I have no doubt that he would love to come back here. And I think the only question is, are the Bears ready to go back across that bridge and bring him back and make a big financial commitment to him, because he's not going to come cheap.
Talking with Dan Pompey, you can read his writing at Bleacher Report, The Athletic, and on the Scores website. You can follow him on Twitter, and you should, at Dan Pompey. I didn't get the chance to ask you about this as the season ended, or we just never crossed up. What did you think of year one of Matt Nagy?
I thought it was outstanding. I thought, for a first-year coach, it was pretty incredible. He got my vote for Coach of the Year, and I think there were things that you could criticize, and I think there are things you could improve. I still don't like the fact that he rested the guys in the preseason game. I think the lack of commitment to the run was disturbing, and that's not just about a play call. It's about the overall commitment to the run that starts in training camp. But, I'm picking nits, obviously. I think the big picture was just fantastic, and I think it really, his impact starts with his leadership and his ability to connect with people, his messaging. And, he's obviously got something going offensively with his ability to make defenses worry about every blade of grass, and to be able to incorporate all the weapons at his disposal. He's a really interesting coach, and I think he's got a very bright future.
How do you think the Bears change with Chuck Pagano as their defensive coordinator versus Vic Fangio?
I don't think Pagano is going to make a lot of changes initially. I think he'll consciously try to maintain the status quo as much as he can. I think he does not want to screw with a good thing. And I think that he will probably try to play to the strengths of the players the same way that Vic Fangio did. But I think, you know, there's probably some room for growth with these players. There's a lot of them are very young players. So, you know, have we seen everything that Eddie Jackson can do? Have we seen everything that Bryce Callahan can do? Roquan Smith? No, we haven't. You know, these guys are still coming into their own. So I think, you know, if anything, you know, there might be some opportunities for Pagano to try to push some buttons with those guys and make them into more complete, better players than they've been.
Okay, so let's talk about the two teams that are in the Super Bowl now. You've covered the Patriots as well as anybody in the league, and not just people in Boston. There are people in Boston who don't have the type of access to Bill Belichick that you do. I'm curious, how is that relationship between Belichick and Brady worked for so long? And I know that there have been some ups and downs, but that you have the argument that you're talking about the best coach ever and the best quarterback ever.
Well, it starts with this, Lawrence. I think, you know, do they always get along perfectly? No, they don't. Do they always see eye to eye? No. But winning is the greatest deodorant, right? I mean, as long as what they're doing is working, the rest really doesn't matter. And it's worked consistently over time, better than any coach-quarterback combination ever has worked. And I think overall, you know, they get along pretty well. I mean, do they grate on each other at times? Yeah, I think so. I think Belichick probably grates on everybody at times. It's kind of his personality. It's been his personality. You know, it was his personality when he was an assistant coach, when he was a head coach with the Cleveland Browns. But I think that's part of his genius, and it's part of what makes him effective too. And I think, you know, the key is that you have kind of an equilibrium on your team and on your staff, where you have other good cops to go along with bad cops sometimes. But I mean, I don't want to make it sound like Belichick is, you know, just the guy who annoys Brady. I mean, he's the guy. He meets with Brady every week, one-on-one, and they talk about that week's game plan. They talk about offense. They talk about concepts. And, you know, that is a critical aspect of the Patriots' success. And they have had this success through multiple offensive coordinators, through multiple quarterbacks coaches with obviously a bunch of different wide receivers. So, you know, that's been the one constant. And, you know, for anyone to say that that's a problem or, it doesn't work well, you know, you're just not paying attention to the facts.
I had a conversation with Hub last night, and we found that we were in agreement on this, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. I think that the idea of finding the next Sean McVay is disrespectful to the career that Sean McVay had before he was a head coach and his life experience. That it's going to be really hard to duplicate what that guy has already learned about football from the time that he was an infant, considering his connection and how hard he worked to get to where he's at, and that he just might be a special dude. So thinking that you're just going to, well, let's find a young offensive guy, I think is a real disservice to who Sean McVay has been so far in his career. Is that a crazy out there opinion?
No, I think it's a great take, and I would agree with it. You know, you know, the idea that you'd like a young offensive mind who's got energy and, you know, a different way of thinking and is bright, you know, yeah, that's great. But, you know, people are unique, and you're not going to find another Sean McVay. There's one Sean McVay. In some ways, he is kind of freakish, you know, in a coach's sense. You know, you might say he's a freak like Julius Peppers was a freak physically or as a player. Because of all the boxes that he checked and his background, and you know, even you look at his career as a high school and college quarterback. I mean, he was just rare. He's rare in everything he does. So, you know, you can't just create that in someone. You have to, I really think that's why when a team is looking for a head coach, they have to look beyond what the trends are or, you know, what you think your team needs. And you have to look at the big picture and say, where can we find the best guy to be the leader for our team, for our organization? And that's kind of why I really liked what the Broncos did with Vic Fangio. You know, they went against the trend and they hired a guy who they believe in, even though he's different from what you're supposed to be hiring right now.
Without giving away too much, because I know that you probably are writing things and you're working on different stories, who's the most interesting person that you've talked to over the last couple of weeks about this game or about the NFL, or what's the most interesting conversation that you've had about the NFL in the last 2 weeks?
That's a good question. I wrote a story that came out today. It's a little different answer for you. On Bleacher Report about Tracy Porter, who you will remember as a Bears cornerback, and you'll also remember as a Super Bowl hero because he intercepted Peyton Manning in the Saints-Colts Super Bowl and returned the pick for a touchdown and, you know, became an instant hero at the age of 22. And, you know, the idea of the story was kind of look at, well, what happened to him since. Bleacher Report did a series of stories on guys like this who were Super Bowl heroes. And he's had a real interesting path since that point. You know, he played on 5 different teams. I mean, initially it was crazy. You know, he was signing babies and he was making $100,000 in a couple weeks with appearances. And they named a street after him in his hometown, and they had a parade for him where, you know, a ton of people showed up. And then, then he kind of fell out of favor a little bit with the Saints. He signed with the Broncos. He bounced around, ended up with the Bears, where he got cut eventually after a number of good seasons, but and then kind of fell off a little bit at the end, had some physical issues. And then in retirement, he got arrested for a domestic battery charge and also some possession issues. And now he's 32 years old, and he's trying to get back in the NFL.
Well, that's a pretty interesting story. And I'm looking forward to sitting down and dissecting and reading it. Dan, I appreciate the time. I appreciate you being generous with it. It's always good to know that you're still out there covering the league. It's important, and I make sure that I try to stay on top of what you're doing because I know that the information that you're getting is top-notch information.
All right. Well, that's very kind of you to say, Lawrence, and I always enjoy talking to you. I love the way you ask questions and how thoughtful you are.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. That's very nice. That's Dan Pompey. He's great. I want to tell my favorite Julius Peppers story, but let me tell you my favorite Dan Pompey story. You talk about a real dude. Like an OG when it comes to like covering football. I was sitting in on the pregame show. This was a couple years ago. And Dan's on the show. And we're talking about the league and we're talking about the NFL. And just as cool as a cucumber, Dan reaches into his bag. He pulls out this notebook. And he goes, well, Lawrence, I was in Bill Belichick's office earlier this week. And we talked about, and I was just sitting there going, that guy has access to Bill Belichick. Like, Bill Belichick returns Dan Pompey's phone calls. Like, he gets invited into Bill Belichick's office. If you're talking about OGs and the way that this game should be covered, that's a guy. That's a real dude. So you know how I've had some issues with like baseball Twitter and stuff? When it comes to Dan Pompey, like I know it's rock solid, like the stuff that he's sharing with you. It's why I don't go to the well very often. Like I don't like having Dan on like once a week. I just know that every now and again, I'm going to get a good football conversation with a guy who actually knows the game. And that's terrific. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. When we come back, Julius Pepper is retired. I want to share with you my favorite Julius Pepper story and the moment when I was like, oh my God, that guy's really great. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Pull from center, play fake to the pocket. Pressure coming. Peppers hunting down Wallace. So is Shea McClellan. He runs left to the sidelines and gets out of bounds at the 10. They give him the 11-yard line. It's still a 3-yard loss, and that'll be a sack for the Bears. A sack was given to Julius Peppers.
Highlight courtesy of our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. We are breaking down the Super Bowl. We'll try and see if we can fit any other stuff into the show. Like, I had an incredible conversation with Vincent Goodwill about power dynamics in sports in the NFL and NBA. And I would like to share that with you. If we have time, we will try and get that done. There could be some other surprises on the show, too, before we get done. Anthony Heron is going to join me at 7 o'clock. I'm looking forward to breaking down the X's and O's with Big Ant, because that guy, I love to hear him talk football. And we had him on once a week doing Bears analysis for us, and it was through the roof. Like, people loved it. I loved it. So we're going to talk with Anthony about the biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl. The highlight coming back in was Julius Peppers with a sack. I remember when the Bears got Julius Peppers. Remember, you know, Lovey's at the doorstep at 11:59 and all that good stuff. Watching Julius Peppers added to a defense that really was just looking for another guy to wreak havoc, because they had so many playmakers on that defense already. And then you add that guy to it. A certified ass-kicking pass rusher. A guy that already came in with a bunch of sacks in his career that was going to be a menace on the outside. And you look at his life and his career, and you just go, this guy is unbelievable. And I'll tell you the moment where, look, he was already on his way to Canton before he got to the Bears, okay? So it's not like I wasn't aware of Julius Peppers, but there's a difference between seeing it from afar and seeing it up close. And I will never forget this. There was a practice in Bourbonnais where I saw Julius Peppers run down Devin Hester. Think about what I'm saying. Devin Hester, he who was the first person to have 100 speed on Madden, the most elusive and in some cases fastest guy in the league for a period of time. I saw 300-pound Julius Peppers run him down at full speed. And I remember looking over to other Bears reporters being like, did y'all see? Did that just happen? Oh my God. You're not supposed to be able to do what that guy did in his career at that size, especially for that long. Julius Peppers, in a year where he's walking away from the game, had 5 sacks. As a situational pass rusher at age 39, he had 5 sacks. You look at his years with the Bears, 8, 11, 11 and a half, 7. Along with a bunch of forced fumbles that he had. You talk about a special dude, and I actually know people that feel like as great of a career as Julius has had, and he ends his career with 159 and a half sacks for his career. Where does that rank him? Herbie, can you look up where that ranks Julius Peppers on the all-time list? I know people who think that he could have been even better. That he didn't quite reach his potential because his potential was so through the roof because of how great of the, he already had the stuff, like all the physical stuff. Then you add that he's a super smart player too.
He's fourth all time.
Fourth all time in sacks.
Half a sack behind Kevin Green.
Oh, that's too bad. Another great Carolina Panther. But when you have Brian Urlacher, without hesitation, say, he's the greatest football player I've ever seen. Think about that statement for a second. Julius Peppers had been here for like a half a minute. And Brian was like, he's the greatest football player I've ever seen. We got the chance to watch a really special dude for four seasons for the Bears. And I know, you know, his heart is, he spoke about some of the great players that he played with here, like Brian. And his heart is in Carolina, as it should be. And if you saw the video that he did a really nice video, and there's a Players Tribune article of him kind of packing up his locker. It did make me kind of sad, though, because you think about, like, the finality of football and, like, the idea, and I know that this is the way that they staged it, but the idea of Julius Peppers being alone in a locker room, having to take his nameplate and pack his bag and then walk out of the locker room, like, it does kind of make me sad. I will tell you, from covering Julius, I always found him really interesting to talk to. He was one of those guys that eventually, I mean, he was good for cliches, but if he really had something to say, eventually he would give you the nod and he would talk to you about stuff. He'd rather talk to you off the mic than on the mic. But when he did, if he had something to say on the mic, he would do it. Because who's going to kick his ass? No one. Anybody going to say anything to Big Julius? By the way, RIP to Big Julius. Like the actual Big Julius from Remember the Titans. He passed away this week. 66 years old. Left side!
The real guy, not...
Yeah, the real guy. Not Wood Harris.
Not Wood Harris.
No, Wood Harris is still alive. That guy's acting career has been phenomenal. He has played some fun roles in his life. What was his character in Above the Rim? Like just getting kneed in the junk by Leon in front of Tupac.
Then trying to shoot Dwayne Martin's character.
Yeah, was he the one who killed Bernie Mac's character in that movie? Or
no,
it was Pac, right? See? That's why he's not on my top five list. I sit right
for
there.
No reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's for a reason.
I mean, he talks smack to him, but still.
Yeah. But, I mean, what are you going to do? It's crazy.
I mean, Avon Barksdale? Excellent.
I mean, his whole career has been good. And now he's in the Creed franchise. He gets to be the Paulie of the Creed franchise. Except not racist.
So, Gary Bertier and Julius Campbell together again.
Together again. Has anyone written a book on Gary Bertier? Because that's a pretty tragic life. That
two
guy
car
had.
Accidents?
Yeah. You end up in a wheelchair and then you end up dead early. What was he, like 40? Maybe not even 40. He may have been in his 30s when he passed away. All that potential. Texter says, talking about Peppers running down Hester, not like Peppers was a kid then either. He was 30. Yeah, I know.
27 for Gary Bertier.
Oh, my God. That's right, because it was like 10 years later, and they came back. 773 Texas says, Peppers only 40. Imagine him walking into your local YMCA to play hoops. Yeah, he was a draftable NBA player. Along with being one of the greatest pass rushers who's ever lived. And when you looked at him, like the long arms, like Julius would, bat passes down, had a real knack for it. How many passes? Let's see. Passes defended for Julius Peppers in his career. I don't even know if they even have. Yeah, they do. Julius Peppers knocked down 82 passes in his career. That's crazy. And had 11 interceptions and a couple of touchdowns off of those interceptions. Just a phenomenal athlete. I'm glad I had the chance to cover him. I'm glad I had a chance to watch him. But I'll never forget him chasing down Devin Hester. Think about how absurd that even sounds. Defensive guy ran across the field and caught Devin Hester. Oh, was it Charles Tillman? No, it was Julius Peppers. Oh. Oh, by the way, shout out to Charles who gave me the shout out on Wait, Wait. I appreciate that. That was top notch. Why are you looking at me like that, Christopher?
I'm not looking at you like nothing.
You're looking at me weird. I don't like it.
Do you know three of the top four sackers of all time? That's a weird word. are played for the Carolina Panthers.
So you got Julius Peppers. You got Kevin Green. And who else? Who am I missing?
Reggie White.
Reggie White. Oh, yeah. Would he finish in Carolina?
His last season, yeah.
Oh, man. How many sacks did he have that last season?
I'm going to check it out.
All right, you do that. We're going to talk with Big Ann Heron next about the Super Bowl. We'll get his breakdown on the X and O side next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.